Hi, this is Mary Kay's Positivity Podcast. I'm a yoga and meditation teacher and life coach. I'm also author of several self-help books. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Today, I have Matt McLean with us. And Matt McLean is a pioneer, agriculture activist, and entrepreneur in the organic farming and food movements. A seventh-generation Floridian, Matt's citrus roots date back four generations to his great-grandfather, who farmed without the use of harmful pesticides or synthetic fertilizers. Matt founded Uncle Matt's Organic in 1999 with just 3 acres in his dad's backyard. Uncle Matt's is now the largest organic orange juice brand and the number one selling OJ and grapefruit juice in the United States. So thank you so much, Matt, for joining us today.
Awesome, Mary Kay. Thank you. Appreciate being on with you, with your listeners.
So what's it like growing up on a farm?
So it was a fun experience. I grew up in a citrus grove family, being a multi-generation. And so my summers and a lot of my weekends, I was out working in those groves, right? So mm-hmm. I was doing everything and anything in a grove that you could imagine. At the time, as a kid, you were wondering, why am I not at the beach? Or you're like, well, my other friends having fun on the lake. But later in life, you realize it taught a great lesson. So just perseverance and hard work and all of those things that motivate you later in life to understand that experience, how helpful it was to be doing it.
So what's it like growing a CPG company from the ground up? If you could tell us a little bit about how you started in the backyard.
Yeah, food and beverage companies, CPG industry, it takes patience, number one, because you don't just break in overnight. I mean, you can go down to the farmer's market and set up and start selling instantly and getting feedback. But to get into the supermarkets and the CPG industry, it takes time. They have review cycles. You can't just walk in and put your product on the shelf. They only have limited space, right? They don't make the store bigger just because you want to put your product in there.
Right.
So for them to put you in, they have to pull somebody out.
Right.
And when you're a new company, you don't have a lot of data. You don't have a lot of history. You just have what's right in front of you and in front of them in that sales pitch. And they either like it and believe in your pitch or they don't. And so it's tough because you're not guaranteed anything. You're not guaranteed any placement on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't get on the shelf, you can't really have much impact and do much in sales.
So that's really interesting because I was thinking the skills that are required as a farmer, you don't really expect it to be sales. But you really have to be likable to get these grocery stores to want to make space, right?
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. Now, if you're selling in the grocery stores and you're selling produce, that's a little different story, right? So they don't have review cycles there. They will have a produce buyer that you can typically get in front of a lot quicker. And if you have good tasting produce, they make room for you quicker mm-hmm. if you're at the right price and than as if you're going to other parts of the store. So when I'm talking most of our history, it is bottled refrigerated orange juice. Mm-hmm. And that's back in the juice section. And that has a gatekeeper who's the buyer, and they have review periods that are typically only annually that you have to adhere to. So mm-hmm. For those purposes, that's what makes it difficult to grow a CPG company today.
What other skills are required as a farmer?
You have to be multifaceted, multi-talented. Mm-hmm. From the skill set of one, start with a whole lot of patience. You are not ultimately in control. That's God and Mother Nature, right?
Right,
I mean, they're
right.
The ones that are going to control weather patterns and whether or not you get enough rain or mm-hmm. you're too dry or you name it, right?
Right.
So you do have to start off with patience, knowing that you can only control what you can control.
If it's organic and you can't use pesticides, what do you do to get the parasites off the produce? Mm-hmm.
So you can still use pesticides, you just use organic approved ones, right? So you use something that's more natural and holistic. For instance, we have the Asian citrus psyllid. It's a little pest that comes and it spreads the citrus greening disease. And you can use neonicotinoid pesticides if you're conventional, right? The harsher pesticides that have been proven to harm bees and other pollinators. Or you can use other naturally derived organic products like neem oil, derived from the neem tree, and that deters them and keeps them away from your crop. So we'll take the more natural organic method mm-hmm. that's derived from Mother Nature and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you think they're more farmers?
It's a hard life. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. It takes a certain personality to like doing that.
But you're outside all day, so I bet you're really always in a good mood.
I think it's great. I love it. I have a mixture, right? So Uncle Matt's, mm-hmm. my dad and brother are really the agronomists and the farmers. Mm-hmm. I am a part-time guy from that standpoint. I am more from the head of the company. I do a lot of the business on the phone and the organization and ops and all that. Mm-hmm. But when I get out into the field, I love it because it's Mother Nature. It's sunshine, vitamin D. You can feel the positive energy flowing through you from the ground and from the grove.
What are some of the beverage trends and functional drinks that you are seeing?
Yeah, at one point, America said, hey, juice has got too much sugar. And yeah. I would say if it's a clarified grape juice or clarified apple juice, there's not a whole lot of nutrition in there, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But a nutrient-dense orange juice, it has a lot of vitamins and minerals in it. One thing that came back on trend when COVID happened, hey, vitamin C, how do we get it back into the body? Mm-hmm. And orange juice spiked and became popular again. Hey, maybe it isn't just about the sugar on the label. This is natural sugar, mm-hmm. and it's packed with vitamins and minerals in there. And then on top of that, are there other things that you can add in there, other functional ingredients that would help either battle inflammation mm-hmm. or boost the vitamin C or zinc or D, things for natural immunity? And that's what we did with our immune product and also with our defense product. We put other immune boosting or inflammation reducing or probiotic gut health ingredients in mm-hmm. with a great base of product, which is orange juice.
So would you tell us a little bit about the state of citrus greening disease? Because I had never heard of that.
Yeah, so citrus greening disease, it's a bacterial disease. It's not harmful to humans. It's only harmful to the tree. Mm-hmm. It's spread, and it has taken over the citrus industry globally. And it's the most susceptible in tropical, subtropical climates, like Florida. So high humidity mm-hmm. And heat. It seems to do very well and spread rapidly there.
Is it
and
something new? New?
Since about in Florida, since about 2015, really showed up.
Oh.
And it has rapidly spread since then. Yeah. It has been around longer. We think it was 2010, but it was a couple hurricanes that psyllid spread around more and it started rapidly declining. So there's a little pest. The Asian citrus psyllid, it's about the size of a gnat, and it's a sap-sucking insect, and it goes to the leaf of the citrus tree, and it punctures the leaf to suck nutrients out, and at the same time, not all of them are infected, but some of them are infected, and it will transmit this greening disease. And the greening disease then gets into the phloem, the main artery of the tree, and it winds up basically clogging, we believe, that phloem. So you can't get enough water up and down, you can't get enough nutrients up and down. And so what happens is some of the limbs, some of the extremities will be cut off from these nutrients. And so they'll start becoming yellow and then the fruit will stay green. It won't mature, hence the term greening disease. Mm. So eventually that tree dies. It becomes just non-productive and it dies. If you were a diabetic and your limbs start, you have problems.
Yeah.
And then you eventually could succumb to it.
Right. So how do you kill the little bug? Have y'all figured that out?
So you deter the little bug. You do a variety of things of the psyllid to try and stop it from coming. But it still only takes one psyllid. So the conventional guys will spray every week neonicotinoid pesticides. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly high levels. But even then, they still get infected. And so what you need to figure out is how do you live with the disease, right? How do you either overcome the bacteria and its food source, right? So once mm-hmm. it gets in the tree, it's got to survive, so it's feeding. So do you introduce other more friendly bacteria that outproduce it or basically out-eat it mm-hmm. And starve it? Or do you have other things naturally that will kill the bacteria or turn on the tree's own immune system? So mm-hmm. the tree, for whatever reason, is not treating this, we believe, as a pathogen. And so it's not actively fighting or battling mm-hmm. against this bacterial infection. We're looking at it from a variety of ways. How do you deter the host, the vector, from coming and infecting the tree? So that's mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. And then two, how do you turn on the tree's own immune system? So do you feed it with enough of the right minerals in the soil, mm-hmm. heavy compost, selenium, zinc, boron, some of those things that will help naturally the immune system of the tree turn on? And then what do you got that can kill the bacteria once it's infected the tree? Do you have something that you can spray on the leaves or put on the soil that will act as some kind of organic pesticide, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at those things. We're even doing experiments with trunk injections where you drill a hole into the phloem and you would inject botanical oils or something of that nature that could kill that within the tree. But mm-hmm. that phloem is very slow. It doesn't move up and down. The bacteria can hide down in the root system. So does it go down in the roots and get it? And then the bug can come right back and reinfect you, even if you kill everything in the phloem.
And it doesn't sound like it's native to America. You called it an Asian bug.
Yeah, so it originated in China, right?
How is it getting here?
So that's the bad news, right? It comes from one small little plant enthusiast that then they believe brought it to Central America. And then from there, they came to Miami. And they started a nursery down in Miami, and they grew some of these citrus trees that were already infected. And then they sold them to a couple families or a couple, and then it just spread from there, right?
Oh, okay.
And that's how it happens.
So what are three facts about organic farming for people that might not be as familiar?
Yeah, one, it's regulated by the federal government. So the United States Department of Ag, the USDA.
That's not comforting.
Yes and no. Okay. So okay. It's at least regulated mm-hmm. by the USDA. So mm-hmm. we have true rules and regulations that we have to adhere by, mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, if we break those rules, we could go to jail. So there is some teeth behind this certification. It's not like many of the other things you see out there. I'm just going to throw one out, like, you know, gluten-free. Somebody puts gluten-free on their label. They don't go to jail if it's not necessarily gluten-free. Mm-hmm. The USDA will fine you, and they will put you in jail for fraud if you now break the rules on what you're allowed to use to call it organic. So we have different products that we can and can't use in organic. So that's one. Mm-hmm. It's regulated by USDA. Number two, it's organic. It has a holistic farming method.
So can you even make money with organic farming? Because it seems like there's so many regulations.
Yeah, you can. Whether you're a conventional farmer or an organic farmer, mm-hmm. if you know your craft well, you will do well. If you don't, you won't be successful, right? So it's more difficult to be an organic farmer because there's less things that you can use mm-hmm. organically compared to conventional to fertilize and to use for weed control and pest control. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that makes it more difficult with organic is there isn't a lot of roadmaps telling you how to be an organic farmer to grow organic citrus in Florida, right?
Right.
Tons and tons of resources for conventional growers here mm-hmm. on how to do all these different things, from the amount of fertilizer per acre, the amount of weeds, can all these things that they have plenty of help and experience on. You don't have it for organic. So you've got a steeper learning curve for organic, but mm-hmm. if you can make it through that learning curve, the consumer will reward you. They will pay you more mm-hmm. for your product. They value organic farming because they know it's more difficult.
Right.
They
know it's
so
better.
You do have, and they know it's better for you, right? It's better for the environment. Mm-hmm. It's better for you, the body. You know, food is medicine. What do you, you know, feed it the best medicine?
Mm-hmm. Right. Can you describe any environmentally friendly practices that you use to replace the chemical pesticides?
Yeah. One thing right out of the gate, synthetic nitrogen, right? So mm-hmm. ammonium nitrate or urea. That's the go-to for most of the conventional growers. Mm-hmm. We will use compost. We will use 3 to 4 tons of compost per acre. We will grow up a cover crop. A cover crop will also be basically your green manure because it does nitrogen and then put into the ground. Those are two things. In addition to that, we'll use things like feather meal or bone meal or blood meal. Those are byproducts, natural byproducts that we put back into the soil The microbes eat, they break it down, and it goes into the ground similar. They break down slower. They're not near as efficient as an ammonium nitrate or urea, but they do not leach into the aquifer like those other two do. In the plant, I believe it's more symbiotic with the plant and the whole soil system.
Well, there's so many chemicals and horrible products that are going into the foods. I've seen so many health issues with people. They can't figure out. Chronic illness is a major problem. So obviously, the organic way is the way to go for what I tell people.
I believe that as well. I just believe it's about trying to avoid any more toxins you can avoid in your body and in the environment, the better off you're going to be. I mean, I'm not saying all conventional agriculture is toxic. I don't want to demonize a lot of good farmers out there. I just believe organic is a better way to farm, and it's a better option to avoid the toxins that can come from pesticides and synthetic fertilizers if they're not used according to label.
Right. It's probably why you're number one selling.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, some good things, best practices. Nowadays, and it's funny, I just had a group of entrepreneurs that are getting their master's in entrepreneurship from the University of Florida. And that's my alma mater, being here located in Florida. And so every year they come down. I love to give them a tour of the groves and just talk about basic business stuff, like what are keys to success in entrepreneurship? And this can apply to CPG of entrepreneurs as well. One, you start off, if you want to be happy in life and business, find your passion. What is your passion? And try and design a business around that, right? So for me, it was the love of citrus and my roots that came from that. And it was just a natural fit that I would go into organic farming and organic orange juice business. Be committed and dedicated. Be prepared to work hard. A lot of the next generation, I hate to say it,
I know.
they don't want to work hard,
I
right? They don't
know. It's a
know
quick fix.
it's a quick fix. And so it's not. Being in the CPG business and being an entrepreneur, it's not a quick fix. You're going to have to be prepared. Hey, you know what? I'm going to have to work hard. I'm going to have to be dedicated to this. So that's why it's important. If it's your passion, it's not just a job every day, a job. It's something you really have a mission and you're driven to go do. So those are a couple good things that I tell people. Just be prepared for that. And then also, you're going to need to have work on sales skills and leadership skills, because you're going to be the leader of your company and you're going to have to sell everybody, not just your product to the grocery store. You're going to have to sell your product to a broker. You're going to have to sell it to a distributor. You're going to have to sell it to your vendor partners, because they're going to have to be convinced, why do I want to pack for this guy? Why do I want a truck for this guy? Am I even going to get paid? And then your employees, when you hire people, hey, believe in me. So leadership skills, sales skills, be prepared to have those. Those are some good things that will help you in your CPG journey and CPG brands. But once you have that, you got to really have a good product. So make sure you have a novel, unique product. If you think you got something good, go on Amazon and see if you can find it. Go in the supermarket, see if you can find it. And if you see two or three people there already ahead of you with basically the same thing, be prepared. It's going to cost you a lot of money, and you're going to be there for a long time trying to displace them if you don't have a compelling, unique differentiation or benefit. Always try and do that. Find a unique product. And then also, can you scale it? So I found something so unique that I can only make in my garage and nobody can help me manufacture it. That's no good.
You need to be able to mass produce. So
Yep.
have you ever thought of adding natural products like turmeric or other things that help people?
I am glad you added that, because we have done just that. I think orange
Oh,
juice is a
good.
fantastic product. Orange juice is a fantastic product by itself, but it's also an awesome elixir for other things that you can
Totally.
add to it that will mask some of their astringent properties and still make it very pleasing and pleasurable to drink. So we have done just that. It's funny you mentioned turmeric, because I'm a big turmeric fan. I take it daily and I
Yes,
drink it
same.
daily. I have orange juice. We have a product called Ultimate Defense, and the base of it is our organic orange juice. And then we add 500 milligrams of whole root turmeric that we grind up. So if
Look
you look
at
at the bottom of
that.
the bottle, yep. And so it's a nice, beautiful orange. And then we mix it with pineapple and ginger.
That sounds amazing.
It is. It is amazing. It's a wonderful whole body elixir. And then we don't stop there. We boost it with vitamin C. So we boost it up to 300% vitamin C from the acerola cherry. And then we also add, the last but not least, a probiotic. So we use a clinically proven spore-forming bacillus coagulin that at 1 billion colony-forming units, it is proven to help digestion and immune support. So all of that is in this one product called Ultimate Defense. And I love to drink it regularly.
That's great, because back in the day, your mom would just say, get some sunshine, drink some orange juice, and that was it. And we've gone so far away from that, that I just feel like orange juice is a great way to hide other beneficial products. So I'm glad you're doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So what's the latest organic farming trend?
From an organic farming standpoint, there's actually a debate, right? Greenhouse grown. And so you'll see more and more of these greenhouses popping up. And some of them get organic certified. And then other certifiers say, yeah, I'm not sure if I really want to do that because it's soilless. But I think there's a happy medium between the two, where if you have some soil medium in there and you use organic practices, it reduces a lot of water usage, and you can produce more in a smaller space. So there is some benefits to that. But that's one trend I see, is people trying to do organic more in the greenhouse. I'm a big fan of soil.
Right.
We like to prefer to do it in soil first.
Yeah, that seems expensive and not efficient.
But another big one is regenerative organic. So there's a whole other certification that's a tag on to the USDA, and that's regenerative organic. So it really goes out and makes sure that while you can plant cover crops and for organic, you don't have to plant cover crops and be organic. You don't have to actually go out and improve the soil to be certified organic. But regenerative organic requires that you're actually have a plan to be holistic and try to do better things for the soil and capture more carbon and those kind of things. So that's, I would say it's organic plus. So that would be one trend in organic farming, is regenerative organic. And you're hearing a lot about conventional trying to just get them to be regenerative farming, which is a great step. We eventually want them to be regenerative organic. But if they can just get, in the Midwest, if they can get them to start doing cover crops and no-till farming, that would be a big bonus for them and for their soil and for carbon capture and the soil profile.
So for your business, how many acres do you have?
Yeah, so our history is we started in June of 1999. We started Uncle Matt's with about 3 acres in my dad's backyard. We rapidly grew. We added probably 40 different growers to our portfolio. We grew our own family acreage from 3 acres to 600.
Wow.
And we grew our total, we grew our total acreage to 1,500 acres that we were taking care of all for Uncle Matt's. And so everything we grew, we put through Uncle Matt's. Now, that's the fun, happy part of the story. The sad part of the story is by 2015, we had noticed that greening had started to really become an issue in the industry. And it started to finally hit our organic groves. So we held out and were more resilient than our conventional neighbors. Our groves were stronger, but then they eventually succumbed. So today, most all of our farming that we have left in Florida is for R&D purposes only, to try and find a cure for greening. And we have less than 100 acres, if you can imagine that. So we now work with farmers in southern Texas, East Coast of Mexico, and California. Those are the three main growing regions that we work with to source our fruit from for our juice, because those are the regions that are more arid and not tropical or subtropical, where greening thrives. And so until we solve greening, we won't be able to come back to Florida for organic for quite some time.
This is scary. So this, would you say this is the worst problem that you've had in this business?
It's the worst in all of our generations. Yeah.
And wow.
As a third generation Florida citrus farmer, mm-hmm. and my kids being the fourth, yeah, it's the worst ever.
Wow. Yeah. We need
from
to
devastation.
Fix this, right?
Yeah. They've thrown a lot of money, federal, state, local, at it. There mm-hmm. still is no silver bullet cure, either conventional or organic. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody I believe in the power of prayer, and please pray for wisdom and a cure.
Yes, I agree. We will. Is there any question that I haven't asked that you would like to answer?
Geez, that's actually a very good question. I told you a little bit about the history. I would say this. How did I get into the juice business, right? So how did I wind up with Uncle Matt's? The history there was when I went to college, I actually went to get out of agriculture, and I studied business. But when I got out of college, it just didn't feel right to go into sales or marketing or some other positions. I wound up back in agriculture, mm-hmm. and I started an import-export business, and I started helping a German friend of my father's who had a grove in Florida, and he said, hey, I've got contacts in Germany that are bottlers, and can you help me find Florida orange juice and grapefruit juice, and I will sell it to them in Germany, and let's partner and do that. And I did that with him mm-hmm. from basically 94 till 2000. Mm-hmm. And that's where I cut my teeth on juice and juice quality and learning bricks and acid and ratio and oil and varieties, what makes a really good tasting juice. And that's also where I had my aha moment for Uncle Matt's, because I had one German customer who asked me about biologic grapefruit juice. He needed biologic grapefruit juice, and that's organic. So he wanted mm-hmm. organic white grapefruit juice. I had no idea what organic was at that time. I came back to the family. I had my epiphany there. My grandfather said, of course, organic. That's how we used to farm before pesticides. We can do it in Florida. We should do it again.
Wow.
Which was amazing. It gave me the confidence. It gave me just this great amount of positive energy mm-hmm. to go forward and go pursue this passion and pursue this. Mm-hmm. He felt it really was his calling at the end of his life to pass that on to me. We need to go back to this way of farming.
Yeah, it's interesting that we switched, because it always worked. I'm wondering why, what the impetus was.
Well, so my brother said it best. It was technology and methods being basically organic farming before it was called organic. Mm-hmm. It was never proven. It was just displaced. Mm-hmm. It was displaced with newer technologies. It was displaced with stuff that was cheaper. Stuff that could get more production quicker. Moved from when pesticides started being invented in the 40s and synthetic fertilizers, we moved more towards being production-based and not quality-based. Mm-hmm. And it was about how much you could produce per acre.
Right.
And so those technologies were really good at that. Mm-hmm. And the old technologies of cover cropping and composting and that, they weren't disproven as, hey, these are bad. They don't grow good quality. They were just displaced by these other methods that grew, that were more productive. Mm-hmm. And by the time it got to my grandfather at the end of his life, he had realized, like, hey, we went down these wrong paths. Mm-hmm. And these wrong paths of just following more and more production and chasing production, we left out quality. And when you leave out quality, you leave out soil health, you leave out tree health, and you leave out human health.
Right.
Because when you produce better quality, you're producing more nutrient-dense food, which feeds the human, which then gives us the more miners, more zinc, molybdenum, boron, all those little things that a healthy soil puts into the roots, that put into a tree, that put into the fruit, mm-hmm. that then gets squeezed into the juice, right? And he got it at the end of his life, and that's what he passed on to me. And I've been carrying that torch ever since of we are what we eat, health as well. Mm-hmm. And let's start with a healthy soil and do it organic and grow it the best we can quality.
Thank God you had him, because I do think we learned so much from those previous generations, really.
Amen to that.
They did it right, and then we lost ourselves. I think we got greedy.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's market forces, right? So now what's great is there's a consumer that can demand quality. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to quality.
Right.
And something that we believe is better for the environment and human health. And so that's great. So the market's swinging. The pendulum's going hopefully back the other way.
Mm-hmm. So when you say you're trying to figure out, like, to make the best tasting orange juice, what do you think it is that makes the difference? Is it a sunny season, or is it what you put in the soil, or combination, or is it something else?
I would say, and we've looked at organic all over the world, right? Uh-huh. So besides Florida, where we really focused on Florida for a long time, now we go and visit the groves in Mexico, the groves in Texas, the groves in California, and you look at the different soils, and they're all different, right? The climates mm-hmm. are different.
Right.
It's back to organic is just a method that is more about soil health, mm-hmm. right? And ultimately, what you typically will find if you just had on average conventional fruit versus on average organic fruit, whether it's you're growing blueberries or peaches or whatever, mm-hmm. you will see a higher Brix. And Brix are the natural sugar level, the density of the natural sugars in the fruit. So you will get it a little bit sweeter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you analyze it even further, you typically then will find that there's more antioxidants in it. There's a little bit more vitamin C. There's a little bit more whatever because it's more condensed. And how does that happen? The tree grows slower. Organic, the fertilizers break down, it's slower release. It has to be synergistic with the microbes in the soil that then break it down so the root can pick it up mm-hmm. and put it in the tree. So it's like it ages better like wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what organic farming does, from a better soil profile that then goes into that tree. And when you have something that is picking up a lot of those minors, like the zinc, boron, molybdenum, selenium, some of those things that you won't get from a soil that's been depleted of those because they've been heavy herbicided for mm-hmm. weeds.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a napalm to the friendly gut bacteria. It's very similar to your gut, right? You mm-hmm. take antibiotics and mm-hmm. what happens?
Right. Strips.
You need to take a probiotic, right? It strips the good stuff out. Mm. And the soil's the same way. You go out there and you're addicted to herbicide, you napalm your soil regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, organic's not napalm in the soil. It's got a real healthy gut bacteria, right? Mm-hmm. It's got a good, healthy soil bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get more nutrients. You're going to get more things. And all of that turns on different flavor profiles and different antioxidants in whatever that piece of fruit or whatever that tree or plant is growing. All of that stuff is designed to, wow, ooh, this is more flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the organic wines regularly are the ones that score really high on flavor.
Wow, that's interesting because it's mm-hmm. just like the hare and the tortoise, that patience really does matter.
yeah.
Taking it slow.
Yeah, and my brother has another great saying, the plants can't lie. Mother Nature can't lie on how you treat it. It's a cause and effect.
And it's all about intention, too. I tried uh-huh. this little experiment in my own home when I realized plants, everything is about energy. And I used to always say, oh, all my plants die in my house. And then I said, why am I saying that? I'm going to change it and say that all my plants thrive. And I started talking to them and I started complimenting them and I was playing great music and my plants haven't died in 15 years.
So I know.
Mm-hmm. So I do think mm-hmm. having good energy people around the plants and caring and being patient and loving really creates a good crop, I would imagine.
All of those good things. My granddad used to love to ride with the windows down.
Uh-huh.
And he just put his arm out the window. He wanted to feel the leaves as he went through the uh-huh. groves.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to smell the soil. He wanted to smell the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always say, hey, the answer to your problems are out here. Don't get behind a desk and think you're going to figure out how you solve an answer out in the grove.
Right.
You need to get out. You need to ride. The trees and the environment will tell you mm-hmm. the answers, but you got to look for it and you got to be out here.
I think you need to write a book about him with all of his wise lessons.
Me and my dad are two really good ones, definitely salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Farmers at heart and positive people.
Right.
My dad goes out every morning, likes to walk barefoot in his grove and earth himself, ground himself.
He's grounding himself, right?
Yeah, he's grounding himself, and there's positive energy as he walks through that grove.
Yeah. So how can our listeners learn more or buy your product, can you tell us a little bit about how they can reach you?
Yeah, the best thing about us is you can go to UncleMats.com, our website, and on there is a store locator. So just click on the store locator, put in your zip code, and it'll populate exactly where you can find us in a store near you. And if you can't find us in the store near you, then you can also just buy us directly online from our online store. I will warn you, it will be more expensive if we have to ship it to you direct than if you buy it locally at your local store.
Right.
So just know that.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate all your time and information. I've learned so much. And I wish you the best with your farming practices and getting rid of that pesty Asian bug.
Mary Kate, thank you very much. I'm going to take your positive energy and we're going to go find some solutions.
Okay, good. All right. Thanks again. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, have a wonderful day.
You too. So everyone get in a comfortable seated position and take a deep breath in. Inhale. Imagine you are inhaling all those nutrients from the air, the sun, the soil. And then exhale, letting go of any negativity, anything weighing you down. Just let it release and surrender. Sometimes we're trying so hard and we're pushing and we're pushing and there's so much effort. And if we just release and let go and surrender, everything falls into place. So release the thoughts, release the expectations, take a deep breath in and a long breath out. And now just relax your brow, relax your eyes, just let the lid soften. Your jaw releases. Your neck softens, shoulders relax, arms feel loose and heavy. Now the palms of the hand, draw your attention to your palms, your fingers, maybe wiggle your fingers and relax. Big inhale, relax. Long exhale, relax. Imagine the sun shining down into your face. It warms your face. Now let the rib cage rise and fall with the breath. All the muscles soften. The upper back, the lower back releases. If you have too much on your mind, like plans for the day, things to do, people to call, let it all go. This will make it easier to relax rather than needing to lie awake and reviewing a to-do list. Visualization can help you relax. So close your eyes and use all of your senses taking you to a place like the beach, an orange grove, the lake, the woods. And try listening to the sounds and the smells. Imagine touching the moss on a rock, or whatever it is in your place that's relaxing. Breathe in, breathe out. Let the weight of the world release from your body. You are exactly where you need to be. Inhale through your nose to filter out and stimulate the brain. And now exhale, breathing more fully and deeply, helping you to become more aware,
more intuitive, calmer, more alert, and more integrated in body, mind, and spirit. Use music to help your energy make you feel vital. Breathe in slowly and breathe out. Imagine the sounds of birds, the clouds floating by in the sky. It's okay to daydream. Let the calming visuals help you go deeper and deeper into a completely relaxed state of mind. You are remarkable. You are well loved. You are an incredible being of this world who is blessed. Believe it. Believe it so you can set your life on fire and do exactly what you were meant to do. Find your passion. Create. And just surrender all the pressure and take it one baby step at a time. Namaste. Thank you for joining us today.